Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, September 30th, as we have a guest on the podcast. Today, Sarah Rich will be reading for us. She and her husband, Matt, have two kids, Micah, who is in fifth grade, and Abby, who is in second grade. And I look forward to a time at the end of the podcast where she and I talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Sarah, for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. This is Joshua 21, verses 1 through 19. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest and to Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasturelands for our livestock." So by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasturelands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest lived by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. The Gershonites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The Merarites, according to their clans, received from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasturelands the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. And to the descendants of Aaron the priest they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasturelands, Libna with its pasturelands, Jatir with its pasturelands, Eshtemoa with its pasturelands, Holon with its pasturelands, Debir with its pasturelands, Ain with its pasturelands, Jutta with its pasturelands, Beth Shemesh with its pasturelands, 9 cities out of these 2 tribes. Then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasturelands, Geba with its pasturelands, Anathoth with its pasturelands, and Almon with its pasturelands, 4 cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron the priest were in all 13 cities with their pasturelands. This is Psalm 119, verses 153 through the end, verse 176. Resh. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Sin and Shin. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tall. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Our New Testament reading is Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well.
Thank you, Sarah, for joining the podcast and for reading for us so beautifully these passages. I want to talk a little bit first about your family. Remind us about who Matt and Micah and Abby are to you.
So Matt is my college sweetheart. We met at Samford University, and we've been married 15 years now. Micah is our firstborn. He is 10 years old in the fifth grade. And Abigail is our baby. She is newly turned 8 years old.
Before we get too far into the interview, I just want to talk about some of your favorites. Tell me about a favorite book or a book that you're reading now that excites you.
I love historical fiction. So I read a lot of them through audiobooks. That is my introverted moment of pleasure every day while I'm taking a walk, washing the dishes, doing the laundry. I like to listen to an audiobook. So I've read voraciously the historical fiction genre, everything from Revolutionary War period all the way up through the World War II into the Civil Rights Movement, anything in between. Doesn't matter if it's European or American.
Give us a suggestion or two.
One of my favorite World War II era is The Rose Code by Kate Quinn. And in sort of a modern Jane Austen style, I like Amy Snow by Tracy Rees.
If you have free time, Sarah, what interests you? I know reading audiobooks, but what else?
I enjoy baking. I enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles. That's something I haven't done a lot since I had kids, but I really love the 1,000, 2,000 piece jigsaw puzzles that drive my husband crazy. I like cross stitching. I'm not super proficient at it, but I enjoy it. And of course, fitness and music are the two biggest hobbies in my life.
So tell me about those. Let's start with fitness. How did you get into fitness? And tell me how that interacts with your day to day.
So I did not grow up an athlete. I never really played sports. Just thought that wasn't my thing. I thought that wasn't my gift. But after college, I was feeling like I needed to make some changes in my life. I didn't want to go down a path of unhealthy eating and unhealthy living. And so Matt and I just together joined a Y. We were very poor newlyweds and didn't have a lot of money, but we joined the Y. And we didn't have money to do anything else except go and exercise together. So we did. And from that point on, it became something that I like to do and didn't really know a lot about it, but the Lord provided different opportunities for me to learn. And then eventually, while we were living in South Carolina, I had the opportunity to audition as an instructor, and I found that it sort of combined my performance background, my teaching background, my musical background. It all kind of came together, and I could do something that I enjoyed and get paid to do it. So it's fun.
Well, tell me about now. Where do you teach, and what do you teach?
I now teach at the YMCA, specifically the Shades Valley Homewood location. I teach a combination of cardio, weight training, and core classes each week.
Well, as often is the case on this podcast, I like to connect the things that we're interested in with faith. So I want to ask you a question. How does fitness interact with your faith?
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this particular question. I think the first answer is stewardship. God has given us great resources in our physical bodies, and they are a good gift. He gave us our bodies in Eden before the fall, and He created them good. He pronounced them good. So I have to believe that God gave us every part of ourselves for some good purpose. And as I think about using God's resources to further His kingdom, I think this is something built in that He's given us. And so if I use it wisely, then I have the energy to go out and be the hands and feet of God. It may be caring for my active children. It may be doing things that are necessary for older adults who can no longer do their laundry or go to the store. It may be participating in a service day. Whatever it is, if I use my body well, and not to be a slave to it, but, and or to make it an idol, but to use it well, then I am equipped to do a lot of things for Him. And I believe that that's a way of honoring the gift He's given us, just as we would take care of anything that is precious to us, that, especially those that are gifts from people we love.
That's a great way for us to connect the physical with the spiritual. So thank you for that. I want to also ask you about music. How did you gain a love for music? How have you used your musical skills over the years? And then tell us a little bit about how you're using them currently.
I think I've always loved music. My mom sang to me when I was in utero, and so I was always exposed to it. I grew up as the choir kid, spending Wednesday nights hanging out either in the gym or on the pew listening to the choir rehearsal. And every now and then I'd get to sneak up there and sing with them. I did children's choirs all the way through growing up. Never had a voice lesson in my life until I went to college. But I had great choral directors in school who taught me how to read music, taught me how to listen and use my musical ear. And then I was able to go, by the grace of God, to Samford and study music. I wanted to do that same thing. I wanted to be the teacher for others. And so I studied music at Samford, music education and voice, went on to be a music teacher in the public schools for a few years. After that, I became a private voice teacher and then took a break when I had kids. But I have been able to continue using music in church settings all the way through. So I've done children's choir, adult choir, handbells, VBS music, anything you can think of. And now I do have the privilege of working with the Birmingham Boys Choir, of which Micah is a part. It has been just such a joy for me. I feel like I'm learning as much as I am teaching, but I teach music theory every week to third through fifth grade boys and get to help in performance preparation for their big concerts that are coming up.
I know that there is a Christmas concert every year, but tell us a little bit more about what the Birmingham Boys Choir does.
Well, the Birmingham Boys Choir has been around for 50 years. This is our anniversary year. Ken and Susan Berg, who are formerly serving at this church, have been with the organization for 45 years. So this is a big year for us. We have a number of collaborative concerts planned throughout the year. Our Christmas concert will be at Samford in the Wright Center. It is free, and it is December the 13th. That's a Tuesday night. Beyond that, we will prepare More programs in the spring, and we will follow it up with a tour to Scotland in June.
Now, as I asked you about faith and fitness, I want to ask you about music and faith. How does music help inform your faith?
Well, research shows that music is a powerful tool for memory. It is one of the most powerful tools for memory. Matter of fact, many patients who lose their recall of current events can often remember hymns, songs that they learned as children, even in advanced stages of Alzheimer's. So we know that music is a powerful tool. I believe that God intended music to be part of worship, part of our enjoyment. And I believe it is part of our catechesis. It is a way that we store up His word in our hearts. I can think of countless scriptures that I know because of hymns, particularly when I read the Psalms. Often I will read a passage and an anthem comes into my head, a hymn comes into my head, something that's connected. It may even be a children's choir song I learned from Steve Green way back in the day. So I believe in its power, and that's why I think it's important that we continue to offer opportunities for our kids to learn music, to learn scripture, to learn to put their faith into song so that they can hide God's word for those times that they need it.
God's word is so powerful, and especially when sung. I agree with you on that. I want to segue to the scriptures now. I want to talk to you about the scriptures that we read today. Would you make any commentary on the passages?
Sure. So I did a little research on Joshua chapter 21, specifically the Levites. We know that the Levites were the priests, they were the musicians, they were the worship leaders of their day, as appointed by God specifically. And it was decreed that they would have allotments. And I think in that we see God's heart, that He would care for those who are in vocational ministry, that He would provide for their needs. But we also see in this passage that the Levites were scattered among the different tribes and the different locations in the land of Canaan. And so we also see that God cared for the spiritual needs of His people, that He placed ministers among them, to live among them, to go through life with them. He doesn't intend for His ministers to live in a crystal palace somewhere set apart from everyone else, but to be among the people. And I think that shows love both for the ministers and for the people who need ministering to.
And you wrapped up Psalm 119 for us today. Thank you for doing that. Anything from that passage that you would say?
I was often confused by this passage as a kid and a teenager reading any part of Psalm 119. I didn't get it. I wondered how you could really love law. Maybe that's why I'm not a lawyer. But as I have grown, I've come to understand that in the law, we understand the heart and the character of God. Just as a parent sets rules or gives instructions to their children because of their love, I tell my kids no on candy because it's not its own food group, out of love, not out of a sense of meanness. I limit their screen time because I love them. I make them clean their rooms because I want them to understand the value of work. Those are good things, and I think in the law of God, we see the heart of a father. We see a father who wants to save us from ourselves, and a father who wants to protect and preserve us, who wants to show us who He is. And that's powerful. So I pray that I will love the law as much as we read in Psalm 119.
As we close today, I want to ask you, is there a hymn that you sing often or a favorite that you might have?
I have a lot of favorites, but one that comes to me frequently is the old standard, Trust and Obey. So it says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And then the refrain says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Sarah, would you sing that verse for us as we close the podcast today?
Sure. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, What a glory he sheds on our way. Let us do his good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.